It's here. It's finally here. I thought it would never come. Today is the first day of spring. Yes, it is. First day of spring, and it's March the 20th, 2014. Oh, I feel like a brand new person. Almost like being saved all over again. Ah, but you cannot do that. You see, you can only be saved once. And once is enough. But be sure of your salvation. Examine yourself. But I feel brand new. You know what? That's the name of my sermon today. Feelings. Feelings. They can overwhelm you. They can trip you up. They can cause you to make mistakes. But they, if used properly, they can add to your lifespan. They can lead you in the right direction. If you allow God. If you allow God to direct your path. That's the whole point. Feelings. Feelings. Now that's the question. That's the question. But first, let's have a word of prayer. Oh Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you would allow me to deliver this message today, which I've entitled Feelings. Feelings, Lord, they're so important. We all have them, Lord, but sometimes we abuse them, and sometimes they abuse us. They are hard to control sometimes, Lord, as you know. But Lord God, we ask for your mercy when we do trip up, when we do falter along the way, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to be restored to that place where we have fellowship with thee, Lord. Please bless this message, Lord. Give me utterance and unstop the ears that would listen. Open their hearts to receive this important message today. In Jesus' name, in his wonderful, wonderful name I pray. Amen. Feelings, feelings. Everybody has feelings. Now here's the question. Here's the question, and I'm sure you've heard it over and over and over multiple times. But how can I know for sure that I'm saved and will go to heaven? But how can I know for sure I am saved and will go to heaven? Well, that's a good question, and it needs to be answered. So hang in there, and hopefully by the end of this message, you will have the answer to this and other questions you may have. The answer I'd love to give in this particular case is, well, you'll know because you will feel the same way that I do. Whew. Hey, am I taking a lot for granted? I don't think so. I know I am saved. I know I am on my way to glory. How do I know? Because I've examined myself. Because I've believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I've repented of my ways. And though this old flesh trips me up from time to time, I know that I am actually seated in the heavenlies even as I deliver this message. What a wonderful feeling that is. Oh, yes. These are feelings that every Christian should want to encounter, should want to have come upon them. These are the feelings that you need in your life. But then again, I don't want people to think that salvation is just a feeling. Well, it is in a way, but I don't want people to get mixed up or mistake what I am getting at here. So please listen very carefully. Please listen carefully. Feelings can and mostly do, excuse me, especially if you're not saved, they will lead you astray. Feelings can trick your mind and obscure the truth. Remember your first love? That teenage crush? Boy, were you ever, or were there ever a lot of feelings to deal with then, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, there were so many things in overdrive. Not only was your head in the air, but your feet were inches off the ground. And you never even noticed it. If someone had told you, hey, come back to Earth, you'd have thought they were strange and they didn't know what they were talking about. Feelings can sometimes be confused with desires. Have you got that? Feelings can sometimes be confused with desires. But they're not the same. They're really not. For example, you may feel like going to church on Sunday, but you desire to stay home and watch the ball game. Get my point? So it is with giving your life to Christ. You may feel this is the right thing to do, but you desire to hang out with your rowdy friends, if only for a season. I know for a fact this is true, for I was one of them. But thank God, He's given me the power to overcome this. I mean, there are many days or Sundays that I love watching golf on TV. And my church evening service begins at 6 o'clock, and the golf is just coming to that point where they're going into the stretch, so to speak. And so I want to catch the end. I want to see who's going to win. But you know what? About 20 minutes or so before the end of the golf game, I have to leave and go to church. My feelings, unfortunately, tell me that I want to stay and watch the game. But you know what? My heart is with God. And my heart tells me I must go and be in the house of the Lord in fellowship with those of like precious faith. Oh, yes. You know, I'm like everybody else. I'm no different. And with all due respect to God, I had a desire to sow some more wild oaks before taking a vow of abstinence. Now, I'm not talking about Catholicism here, but I'm talking about wanting to do better, wanting to be pleasing in the eyes of God. You know, but it's our natural inclination. Like it was natural for Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. She had the feeling that she had to know what it would taste like. Was she hungry? Well, I don't know. I know God provided for her and Adam, but she had a feeling about this. A natural feeling to eat of the forbidden fruit. You know, for many of us, it was always maybe tomorrow. Do it now. I don't feel like it. Maybe tomorrow. And for some of us, well, tomorrow was a day too late. A day too late. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is your day. If you're not sure about your salvation, examine yourself. Get right with God and be sure that if you died today, you'd go and be in the presence of Almighty God. Then there are those who simply ignore God's calling. They ignore Him. That is, until they arrive at a point in life where the best laid plans of mice and men begin to unravel. A point where all that's left is God. Don't you wait until you come to that point. I did a long time ago, where I was completely wiped out. Nothing left. My whole life bottomed out. All that was left was death. But you know what? That's where I met my Savior, at that point. Because the death that I needed to encounter was the death of my sin estate. And that happened when I gave my life to Christ. When I repented and gave my life to Christ. The funny thing about that is, well, it's nothing short of a miracle. It's a miracle. If you could have seen me on the other side of my salvation, you would believe and you would understand what I'm talking about. Miracles do happen. You see, God knows who will come to Him. He knows that one day, the life He gave to us, He will one day, we will one day give to him. The life he gave to us, we will one day give to him. And that's why he's there waiting for us to fall, to understand, to come to that point, that crossroads, where we have to make a decision. There's no other way out. It's either down or it's up. Up or down. You know, I wish to clarify here a most important point. I am not suggesting, as some would believe, that I was predestinated for salvation. Oh no. God does not choose who will be saved. God does not choose who will be saved. But the same God also knows who will be saved. God's foreknowledge, now get this, God's foreknowledge always precedes his predestination. Well, what am I saying? And what I am saying, and I cleave to, is that God knew, even before the foundation of the world, before I was even born, who would believe in his Son for salvation. He knew that Tom L. Bonvey would one day be born and believe in his Son for salvation. Now, that might sound a little bit eerie to you, but you know, God is outside our mindful limitations. To understand God is something you will not know until you get home to glory. That's why we must live by faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith. How can you know for sure? How can you know for sure you are saved and going to heaven? Well, let's look in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. We find the answer there. We can know for sure if we're going to heaven. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. That's how you know. You see, I touched on it, but there it is, right out of the scriptures. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Number two, how can I know, how can I really know I am saved? Well, if you go to 1 John 5, verse 13, it's a good place to begin. How can I know for sure I am saved? Well, listen carefully. Listen carefully. As John received the word from God, now, quote from the scriptures, John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There you have it. That's pretty plain, isn't it? This is your assurance, that ye may know. You may know. Wow. What else is there? To know for sure you are saved. That's the bottom line, folks. The question that I would ask here is that after reading John 5:13 over several times, is this. How can one doubt their salvation? How can one then doubt their salvation? Well, many do. The reason why doubt or uncertainty might creep in here, well, it has a lot to do with the Bible. The Bible you read. You see, there are about 400 Bibles out there. But there's only one Bible that's the true, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And that's the King James Authorized 1611 Bible. I've come to trust in it, I've come to believe in it, and I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, let me be bold just for a moment here. After much prayer and intercession, from the indwelling Holy Spirit. I have the utmost confidence that God's inerrant, inspired, infallible word is found exclusively, and I just said this, is found exclusively in the King James Authorized Version Bible. Now, you may not want to go along with that. That's up to you. But all other versions are corrupt. All other versions are as sinking sand. Okay. Don't believe? That's up to you. Believe? That's also up to you. I find it hard to believe today that there are so many churches who deny the reality of once saved, always saved. I find that hard to believe. Such churches may include the Mennonites, the Amish, the Protestant, and even Catholic. And although it's mostly the larger Baptist churches that really take the brunt of such heresy. I know a lot of gigantic, if you will, Baptist fundamentalist churches even that stray from the inerrant word of God because they're overwhelmed by power, because they seek riches. They want more freedom in their Christianity. This is an ongoing problem. I know that exists. In some churches today, they preach more on how to keep your salvation than how to know you really have it. Did you know that? That's right. In some churches today, they preach how to keep your salvation rather than to know if you really have it. How can you keep something you don't have in the first place? If you give me a dollar and I give it away, I can't keep it. You know, it's a well-known fact. Although not really embraced, I have to emphasize that. It's a well-known fact, but not really embraced, that easy believism is the main culprit. Now, there's nothing difficult about getting saved. That is easy to get saved. If you believe, if you repent. But there's an easier believism they have in the churches today, especially the mega churches, where they get you swooning, sort of, under repetitious music. And they add groanings, and they add flailing out of the limbs, and walking toward the altar in almost a trance. That's not the kind of salvation God intended for us. In fact, that's not salvation at all. Because you leave the church, and probably by the next day, you just forget the whole deal. You don't even realize what you did. There's no salvation in that. There's no salvation in doubt. When a person gets saved, I mean according to the scriptures, then the Holy Spirit immediately indwells you and does not depart until Christ returns to take you home to glory. And that's when you get your new body, when he takes you up. Sometimes even the most conscientious saint can falter under the stress of his sinful flesh. It happens. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. This may grieve the Holy Spirit, but it does not nullify the fact that you are still a child of the King. No, no way. The bottom line is that when you sincerely gave your life to Christ, then you were at once, at that very moment, seated in the heavenlies. Spiritually. Seated in the heavens. And when this happens, the flesh cannot deny the spirit. What's done is done. It's done. If it's a true believism, if it's a true faith in what Christ has done, if it's a true repentance, you can't undo that. You cannot call back your spirit from heaven and say, oh, I changed my mind. I want to go here first. I got a life to live first. You can't do that. What's done is done. The problem today is too many would-be Christians are not even in the same pew with the Savior. They're not mindful. They don't understand. And that's not their fault. That's because of the preaching today. There are so many preachers out there who are out to make a buck. Oh yeah, they'll have you believe you're saved. Then put your money in the offering. And again, and again, and again. God doesn't leave us on our own to ponder and hope that our salvation is real. No, He doesn't. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, the Word of God tells us, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A man by the name of Cooper Abrams stated in a paper of his titled, The Doctrine of Security, and I quote, at the moment of a person's death, it is determined where they will spend eternity. I disagree. I believe a person's destiny is sealed before they reach that moment. Before they reach it. When you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in, indwells you. You are saved. You may be dead in your sins, but you're not dead physically. The Word of God repeatedly assures us of our salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the day of salvation. Isaiah 12, verse 2. God is my salvation. Luke 19, verse 9. This day is salvation come to this house. Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Shall be saved. The list goes on and on and on. You don't have to wait until you're nigh unto death to know you were where you will spend eternity, Mr. Cooper Abrams. No, you don't have to. If you have believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you have repented of your ways, if you have asked God to draw you to His Son, then is salvation come unto you. Two things are very clear in the Word of God. Eternal security and eternal condemnation or eternal damnation. They are at opposite ends of the spiritual spectrum, and never the twain shall meet. You cannot have both. You have to deny one or the other, but you must choose. You must choose one. Once you choose with your heart and soul, or pardon me, one you choose with your heart and soul, the other you choose by doing nothing. Nothing at all. Carry on your merry way. You've done nothing to change your destiny. Can a person know for sure you are saved and going to heaven? You bet your boots you can. Oh yeah. Next question. Can a person lose their salvation? This has come up so many times and is still a growing concern in many of the churches in the land. Can a person lose their salvation? Well, the short answer is no. Once saved, always saved. No. You know, I went through them. I went through them all. But there are over 190 scriptures. Over 190 scriptures binding the believer to Christ. That's almost 200. And what do? Waste time. The precious time God gave you to win other precious souls to Himself. Don't waste your time. Rest assured that you're saved. And get out there into the mission field and start winning others to the Lord. You see, this is a deterrent from Satan. Doubt your salvation and then you not go out and witness to others. You'll just be wondering and worrying all your life. Well, I hope I'm saved, you know. And staying in your own little world. No, get out there. Tell others how much you love Christ. Tell them how to get saved. Pray with them. Pray for them. Oh, what do you do, oh foolish would-be Christian? What do you do? I'll tell you, you ponder and fret every day how to retain or keep your salvation. And in so doing, you cheapen the cross that would save you. You cheapen it. Oh, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, come unto me, Jesus said. All ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What rest? The rest of the assurance of knowing you are going to be with Him in eternity. That's where your rest is. It's not on this earth. It's not in bed at night. It's not in a movie theater. Your rest of the heart, of the soul, of the spirit is in Christ. I tell you this much, oh doubter of the staying power of the blood of Christ, I tell you this much. In your denial of eternal security, you bring shame to the Savior. To the Savior of your blackened soul. You trample underfoot the hope that so many seek for. You turn the righteousness of an upright and holy God into blackened mire. And when you close your eyes in death, 'twill not be the Holy Spirit that sweeps your soul to the waiting arms of your Savior. Nay. But the grim reaper of your destiny will flash before your eyes the key to the pit of hell. The key to the pit of hell. How long will you persevere with your blackened tongue and your stone-cold pride? How long? In 1 John 5:13, the Word of God says, this needs repeating. We can know that we have eternal life. We can know that we have eternal life. And I've been telling you all along how you can know. God promised, and God cannot lie. You got that? God cannot lie. To deny even one syllable of God's word is to call Him a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. When you are born again, then you have passed from death unto life. But when you die in your sins, you pass from death unto death. You see, before you're saved, you're actually a dead person. Dead with your sins. And if you don't come to Christ, you go to hell. That's the second death. So it's death, death, it's double, double, double. And I'm not talking about coffee. Though our flesh, through sin, doth trick us, into believing we are lost again. The Bible tells us that the Bible will not impute sin to a blood-washed believer. The Word of God tells us that. He will not impute sin to a blood-washed believer. Now, how can a justified person go to hell? You can't. There's no way. If you're justified in Christ, you cannot. Somebody once said to me that, yes, Christ died for our sins up to the point where we believed. In other words, all our past sins and not all our future sins. And I say, consider this. All our sins were future when Christ died for them. All our sins were future when Christ died for them. Now, one more item, then I'll close. One more item. It concerns the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. You know who that is, don't you? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're talking now about the third person, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. When a person believes and gives himself over to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then a miracle, the greatest miracle you could ever conceive, takes place. What is it? Well, I've already alluded to it. I've touched on it. God sends the Holy Spirit to indwell you, to live inside you. Now, when the Holy Spirit takes up residence, then know for sure you are now a child of the King. This means you have been adopted into the family of God. And because of because the Holy Spirit seals you, you cannot be unsealed. You cannot break that seal. Others cannot break that seal. Once a God seals something, only God can unseal it. And God cannot deny himself by unsealing your salvation. Because that's what he'd be doing. He'd be not be denying his own word. You cannot be unsealed. What is God's? Is God's. What is not of God is of Satan. Just a footnote here, and then I'll be finished. Because we are sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit, until the Spirit hands us over to the Father, there is no way you can return to whence you came. You belong to Him. He'll not give you up. He'll not give you up. The cleansing power of the blood of Christ can never, never be undone. It is finished. If we are not saved forever, then we are not saved at all. If we are not saved forever, then we are not saved at all. May God have mercy on your soul. Thank you for listening.